Some of you here this morning may have just already heard your sermon. Maybe you've got a giant or you're seeing some waves around you. And right now you just need to listen to what you already know Jesus has been telling you. You don't need to be afraid. He is with you. This morning we have a special guest that I am more than pleased to introduce to those who may not know her. This morning, Sandra, if you would come now. Sandra Chart is the director for World Partners, which is the missions arm of our denomination. And I am excited to hear from her, not just what she has from the Word, but also what she has to tell of what, I mean, this church, there's a number of you who may support individual missionaries. We support World Partners. As a congregation, the reports that you hear from her, you have a share in. This is not just the work of other people. This is what others are doing with your support, prayer, financial, otherwise. This is God's kingdom work that you have a share in. So we have reason to rejoice and celebrate over and over and over again this morning. Sandra, would you come and share, please? Thank you.
Christ. I am really honored to be with you this morning. Thank you so much for the invitation and the opportunity to be here today. Thank you, Pastor Graham, for the joy of being in your pulpit this morning. And I actually did send an email saying if he didn't want me to come, I was happy to not come and he could have his pulpit. No, please come, please come. It's an honor to be here with you this morning. And I just want to begin by saying thank you. I was driving to work one morning, and I stopped at a pedestrian crosswalk, and there was this little girl going to school. She had her backpack on her back, and she was going to school. And as she was crossing the street, I stopped for her, of course, and as she's crossing the street, she's waving to me the whole time she's crossing the street. And I'm looking at this little girl, she was about 8 years old, and she's waving to me as she's crossing the street, and I waved back. And when she got to the other side of the street, she turned around and she went, "Thank you." I just want to say thank you this morning to you for your very, very faithful prayer support to our missionaries. I'm included in that list. Thank you. Thank you for your very faithful financial support to your missionaries. I'm included in that list. Thank you. And as Pastor Graham was saying, some of the stories that I want to share with you this morning are your stories. One of the things that I greatly appreciate about Pastor Phil, the president of our denomination, our motto is his mission, our mission. And it's his story and it's your story. So things that are happening globally are things that are happening because you have been faithful. And I just wanted to start off with that this morning. I've been reading through the book of Psalms. And I've also been reading through the book of Luke. And I am so impressed with the way that David talks about God. He talks about his majesty, his glory, his splendor, his greatness. He says, who can fathom this God? God, there is no other God like you. There never was, there never will be. You are the only God. And I love the way he says those things. But he also talks about God in more of a personal way. He says, God, not only are you great and wonderful and splendor and majestic, you also are my rock. You are my fortress. You are my hiding place. You are my haven of rest. And then he always talks in a number of his songs, he says, I just want to be where you are. And as I've been reading through the book of Psalms, I'm saying that same thing. God, you're great. You are powerful. But you're also my hiding place. You're my strong tower. David says the righteous run into that strong tower and they're saved. And I too, like David, I just want to be where Jesus is. And as I'm reading through the book of Psalms and reading through the book of Luke, I came to these stories in the book of Luke just a few weeks ago. And they have intrigued me so much, these stories. I just thought I would like to share some of those things with you and share some stories of what God is doing around the world. As Pastor read this morning, the passage of Scripture starts off with two words. One day in the New American, and the New NIV is mine. One day. The King James Version says this, on a certain day. And that intrigued me. Because I tend to live life in a massive state of activity. And I tend to live life in a massive state of looking at my calendar and thinking next week, next month, 2 months down the road, 3 months down the road, 6 months down the road, next year. I tend to think that way. And I forget that God is saying on this very specific day in your life, Sandra, it can be an ordinary day, but I want to make something spectacular of this day. It was a very ordinary day for four young fellows. And it was the same old, same old, same old for this fellow who was lame. It was on one specific day. Jesus was speaking in a house, and it was packed out. You couldn't move. I'm so glad that these young men were slightly crazy and they decided that instead of waiting for another day and making an appointment with Jesus, we better come back for another day and see when Jesus has got a little more time for us. They were extremely creative in the way that they took their friend to Jesus Christ. And friends, EMCC World Partners is looking for some slightly on fire crazy people who will look to see how I can lead my friends and my neighbors to Jesus Christ. Not only that, who in the world, Lord, what people group in the world, Lord, are you leading me to that I can give my life to? On this specific day, the Lord changed the life of five men. He changed the life of one specific man in such a way that physically he was changed forever. And I believe these four friends of his spiritually were also changed forever. And Jesus looked at this man and he said two words or three words. And the power of the Lord was on him to heal. And when they came into the house, Jesus saw the faith of these people. And he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. And when Jesus said those words, a major problem arose in that place. Big problem. Because the Pharisees didn't like it. But what intrigues me about this story is that Jesus at that moment changed the tradition of how to receive forgiveness. Forgiveness in the thinking of this group of people and the Pharisees specifically was by the shedding of blood, by the sacrifice of an animal, of a goat or a bull or a sacrifice of some kind. That's how you received forgiveness. They had very little idea of the fact that God was now saying, You receive forgiveness through faith. Jesus changed that day in the lives of these people the tradition of how to receive forgiveness. What intrigues me about this story is that John the Baptist, when he was talking to the people and making the way open for Jesus to come, he would say, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And I love this story for that. On a very ordinary day. But you know what? Today is an ordinary day, and it's the only day we have. Pastor Phil Del Soul keeps saying, today's the only day we have, folks. Make good use of it. The scriptures say, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The scriptures also say in the book of Psalms, from the rising of the sun to the setting down of the same, the name of the Lord will be praised. And if you live in Calgary, we would say from the falling of the snow to the melting of the snow, 7, 8, 9, 10 months out of the year, the name of the Lord will be praised. But it's on today. It's this day that God desires to come into your life. And God desires to speak to you. And he's saying to you, there's a different way of receiving forgiveness. It just reminds me, and it just makes me very, very aware that we need to be extremely clear on the way we present the gospel of Jesus Christ. I read an article about Scientologists, and I read this quote by Tom Cruise, who is a well-known Scientologist, and he said this about Scientology. You know,
we see things, wherever we are, we just want to help.
That's how he was explaining what Scientology is. And I thought, okay, I have no idea what he just said, and I have no idea what he's trying to say. And my heart's desire is for our missionaries, in terms of presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ, in terms of presenting faith and forgiveness in Jesus Christ, let's be very clear. So, how would you present forgiveness of Jesus Christ in Romania? A post-communist country, a people suspicious of everyone and everything, a people who is not interested in a Lord system of any kind. How will you present faith? How would you present forgiveness? How would you present the Lordship of Jesus Christ? You need to talk to John and Cheryl Zumbrin, who work in a village called Momaya, a village of about 450 people. Of the Romi Gypsy people. A very suspicious group of people. They trust no one. How would you present forgiveness to this group of people? Well, John and Cheryl have chosen to live in that village. And they've chosen to be like that group of people. And they've chosen to be with them. And it's really quite interesting when you walk around that village with John and Cheryl. First of all the children come flocking out. Domna Sara. They call her Sarah there. Miss Sarah. And they come flocking out to her. And then the ladies come out. Oh, Miss Sarah. And then the men come out. Oh, Sir John. And they begin on a very individual basis to share their faith and to share Jesus Christ and to share forgiveness to a very suspicious group of people. Well, You need to talk to Kevin and Michelle Wepler, also in Romania. They're settled in a small town called Dragănești-Olt. It is in the most darkest part spiritually in the country of Romania, where just recently they had a break-in in their home, in their workshop, and their next-door neighbor threw some poison into the ground and killed their watchdogs, stole tools from Kevin's workshop. They have had, over the last years as they've lived in Romania, a witch's coven, which marches in front of the gate of their house, and they chant incantations against the Weplers. Get out! Go home! We don't want you here! Get out! How do you present forgiveness with a group of people like that? Or maybe you need to talk to Dan and Carrie Weens in South Africa, where they are just settling in. They just moved there at the end of last year. How do you share forgiveness in a place like South Africa where the community remains quite enslaved to ancestor worship? Where numerous children learn about the love of Jesus Christ and God, and then they go home to family members performing worship to ancestors. Where many people who would freely call themselves a Christian but wear goat hide bracelets as charms to ward off evil spirits. How will you share forgiveness in that way? Let's bring it home. How will you share forgiveness of sins to your next door neighbor who has had a mammoth number of experiences in life, who may be disillusioned with life, who may be saddened by life, who may be downtrodden by life? How will you share forgiveness? Jesus came to change that tradition. And today he says, forgiveness is here. Let's grab it. Let's seize the day. Let's seize the day. I received a cartoon a few weeks ago from a friend of mine, and it's a picture of two bears sitting on a rock. And on the back part of the cartoon, it shows Noah's Ark with all the animals hanging out of the ark. And one bear says to the other, "Oh no, was that today?" I've hung it up on my refrigerator and I see it every morning because I don't want to miss what God is going to do today. Look to see what God is going to do for you today. And what opportunity is he going to bring to you today? Well, the story goes on in this passage of Scripture, and we go to another part of the story, and we see where Jesus looks to a man called Levi. And he simply looks at this man, and he said, "Pack up everything and follow me." And Levi did. Packed up everything he had and followed Jesus. Is that not what a true mark of a disciple is? Just follow Jesus. And I find this passage of Scripture really intriguing for me personally, because it talks about the fact that Jesus came to change the tradition of social interaction. I just had the honor of, over the spring months, doing an 8-week course called the TK Primer, and it's based on the book that Hugh Halter wrote, The Tangible Kingdom. Hugh Halter was the keynote speaker at our regional gatherings this year. And a number of us in the Calgary, Red Deer, Didsbury area in Alberta spent about 8 weeks together going through this material. And it was really interesting when we came to the part where it talked about having a block party or having a party in your home. And who would you invite to your party? And I was really intrigued by that because I thought it made me stop to think, who of my next door neighbors do I really know? Who have I talked to know where they are in terms of their walk in life, their journey in life? And I began to write down the names of my next door neighbors, and I wrote down Earl and Sue and their son Hunter, and I wrote down Janice and Bob. They live next door to me, and they have this big, huge picture of Buddha in their living room. And then I put down the name of Cindy, who just lives down the road from me, down the street from me. She has 9 dogs. And the first time I ever met Cindy, she was raking her front lawn, and I was doing my 2-kilometer daily walk, and I passed in front of her house, and she said, "Hi, how are you doing?" I said, "I'm well. Hi, how are you?" "I'm Cindy." I said, "I'm Sandra." And she said, "Wonderful day." I said, "It's a beautiful day. This is the day the Lord has made." And she just stopped. And she looked at me and she said, "I have 9 dogs." And introduced me to every one of them. And I was there for about 20 minutes, and this lady talked the entire time. I don't think she took a breath the entire 20 minutes she was there. She told me her life story. I'd never met this woman before in my life. She told me her life story. Do you know, I am hearing constantly that people are saying that same thing. I meet someone for the very first time, and all of a sudden, before I know it, they're telling me their story. One of our pastors in Carstairs, Alberta, he went to a hockey game with his wife. And, of course, he was cheering for the Calgary Flames. And he said, we sat down in the bleachers, and this young gal of about 20 years old sat down in the seat beside him. She turned to him and she said, "Hi, my name is Lisa." And he said, "My name's Lance." And she said, "You know what? I just got out of a rehab center. I've been trying to kick cocaine for the last few months." And she told him her story. She'd never met this pastor before in his life. I believe, my friends, that God and his spirits are wooing people to himself. And people are looking for opportunities to tell their story. They're telling their story. Well, who would you invite to a party if you were having a party? Would it be like Dorothy Reed in Romania with all these children and her children's ministries? Would it be these children who the Orthodox priest said to the children, "If you go to that Bible study, I will make sure you fail your year at school. Don't go." And they didn't. And Dorothy began to pray. And God began to bless. Or would it be like again in Romania, where Pastor Raul, who is the team leader of the area where Kevin and Michelle Wepler are and Dorothy Reed are, and he would say, so many people say, "Lord, I will go anywhere in the world. Just don't send me to the Romi Gypsy people here in Romania. I won't go." Or would it be in Ireland, where our missionary Liesl Reimer from our Zion Church in Didsbury is ministering at the Dublin Christian Mission, where she has the opportunity to work with troubled youth and troubled children, where the Dublin Christian Mission is right in the downtown inner city of Dublin, and where parents are drug addicts, they're dealing drugs, dysfunctional homes, dad is in jail,
incest, violence. And Liesl has the opportunity to invite those people to her party to share faith. Who would you invite? Who would you invite? Or would it be in South Africa game with the Weenses, where unemployment is so incredibly high and the HIV and the AIDS issue continues to be tremendously high and affects the country so much, and where it has profound effects on the moral standard and moral guidance of the children, where mom and dad actually are dying, who's going to give this guidance to children? Would you invite them to your party? Or would it be in Central America, where the begging bowl mentality is high and children on the streets begging for some sort of substance to live on, and mom and dad are receiving that money from their children that they beg on the streets? I remember when I was in Brazil, a little boy, he would sell bread on the side of the road every day. And one day, I watched as he was going up to the cars and saying, "Would you buy bread so my mom can buy milk?" And people would go, "No, your mom's just going to go and buy drugs. Your mom's just going to go drink," that sort of thing. And my heart just went out to this little boy. And I began to buy bread from him every day. And we became sort of friends. His name was Guilherme, or William. And on the side of the road, I'd buy bread from him every day so his mom could buy milk for him. Would you invite that lady to your home? Would you invite that lady to your party? Jesus changed the tradition of social interaction. And those people are all around us. And God is saying, today, I need some slightly on fire, crazy Christians who will open their hearts to be involved in the lives of these people. And then the passage of Scripture goes on to a portion of Scripture that's really intriguing to me. And it talks about fasting and prayer. And I see in this passage of Scripture that Jesus changes the tradition of fasting and praying. The Pharisees came to Jesus' disciples and they said, "John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do we, but how come you guys don't?" And Jesus said, "Why would you fast when you're at a wedding party?" My nephew just got married yesterday, and I was at this really cool wedding party. It was really totally awesome, garden party. And I'm telling you, no one ever dreamed of fasting yesterday. Why would you fast? And then Jesus goes on and talks about old wineskins and new wineskins. And sometimes it's kind of difficult to understand what he's trying to say. What he really, in essence, is trying to say is there is a new day coming. And God is doing some things that we can't put him in the box. God does things outside of the box, far beyond our understanding, far beyond our comprehension, far beyond what we can even conceive. I have a friend who keeps saying, there's not even a place in my head where I can hang that thought. God is doing some pretty phenomenal things around the world. He brought a new system. He brought a new way of doing things. And he said in the book of Isaiah, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Can't you conceive of that? Can't you see that?" And you know, God is doing some pretty interesting things. He's done it all through the Scriptures. He's done it all through history. And he's still doing it today. But they're new things. He had a fistful of new things that he did in the Old Testament, such as a strange tactic for Moses one day when he says, "Hold up your hands. And when you hold up your hands, your army will win." What kind of strategy is that? God's. Or he had this strategy saying to Gideon, get rid of all the mighty men, and you've got this little wee renegade raiding party to take over this huge city. What kind of strategy is that? It's God's. Or you had God when he said to Jehoshaphat, put the praise and worship team before in front of the army. How would you like that, folks? Go before the army. What kind of strategy is that? It's God's strategy because God is doing a new thing. And they're pretty phenomenal things. Just ask Dan Chappell in Mexico just recently. Dan was sharing with me. He said, you know, Sandra, we went to teach in one of our churches, and I'm teaching anthropology. And there was this young gal at church. He said, I had never seen her before. I assumed she was part of the church family, but I had not seen her before. I didn't know. He said, we were talking about anthropology. She had some very keen questions and very insightful questions, and we began to talk about those things. He said, I found out that she's 19 years old, a single mother, and two little children, not a believer. She was quite interested in what we were teaching, and when we explained salvation to her, she said, I want Jesus. Gave her life to Jesus. He said that same day, that afternoon, we went to visit a family. They'd visited there a number of times before. Their 14-year-old son, Abednego, had a drug problem. He had been clear of drugs since the last visit they'd made there. The mother was a famous witch in the area. She didn't want them in her home, but the father had invited them, and so they explained the way of salvation, and this time the young fellow, their son, 14-year-old Abednego, gave his life to Jesus in the home of his mom, a practicing witch. Or Ken Meisner works with First Nations on the Seabird Islands just outside of Abbotsford, British Columbia, and I was there just last December, and he took me through all the areas on the reserves where he's working. Oh, I do a Bible study on that reserve. Oh, I do that here, and we've got a ladies' meeting there, and we do kids and mums and tots, and we do this on that reserve, and we do that on that reserve. He has an open door to the First Nations reserves in that area. And I was asking him, I said, tell me one really exciting thing that God has done in your midst in the last year. And he said, okay, 8 people came to faith in Jesus Christ this last year on the Saugeen Reserve. And that's phenomenal, folks, when you're working with First Nations people. I said, that's totally awesome. Tell me one really disappointing thing this year. And he thought for a while and he said, yeah, only 8 people came to faith in Jesus Christ this year. There should have been more. Ken Meisner has what he calls dog food evangelism. He has a friend who receives free dog food and gives it to Ken. He has mounds of this dog food. And so he puts them in 5-kilo bags, and he goes knocking on the doors on the reserves. And his strategy is this. And he says, once you get inside the home of First Nations people, they are, by their culture, obliged to invite you in to have a cup of coffee or a cold drink or something. And that's how he gets into their homes. He comes and he says, I have some free dog food for you. Where can I put it? And he gets inside the house, and they're obliged to invite him in. He sits down, has a cup of coffee, and he shares faith in Jesus Christ. Or 2 young ladies who were disciples of mine in Brazil years ago felt the call of God in their lives to overseas missions, and they are now serving in Mozambique through a very, very interesting way. Or, again, Liesl Reimer in Ireland, where she has the joy of being the overseer of all the volunteer service work that's done at the Dublin Christian Mission. The law school in Dublin requires of their law students to do pro bono work, and they go to Dublin Christian Mission to do their pro bono work. And she has the oversight of these law students, and she speaks into their lives Jesus Christ all the time.
God is doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing. God is doing, friends, around the world, a new thing. And we don't want to miss it. I don't want to be like those two bears on that rock saying, oh no, was that today? I want to be able to see what God is doing and able to invest in the lives of people around me. I heard a story a few months ago. It was about a missionary serving with Operation Mobilization. And this story speaks so strongly to my spirit. And I pray every day that our missionaries would be so in tune to the Spirit of God that this would happen in their lives. And you know what? It is. It's happening. He felt led of God to take Bibles into Iran. And as he was in at the guard going into Iran, he prayed, of course, that the guards would not see the Bibles. And he got through. Got through the barriers and was driving in Iran. And about 3 kilometers into the country, as he passed over the frontera, his car stopped. Just stopped. And so he took it to the side of the road and got out. And he said, okay, Lord, I have no idea what's going to happen, but I'm in your hands. So here we are. And as he said that, he saw a gentleman on the other side of the road looking at him with his arms crossed and his legs spread apart like this. And just watching him, he was dressed in Kurdish dress. And he became a little concerned that something might physically happen to him. And as he was praying, this gentleman crossed the road, came over to him, and his hands like this, and he said, so, where are the books? And this missionary didn't know whether he was a spy, you know, he didn't really know what this gentleman was. And so he said, I don't understand what you're saying. What books? Where are the books? And this gentleman said, I don't know why you would think I would have books. Why would you think there would be books? I don't know why you'd think books. And this gentleman said to him, on one specific night, on the same night, all the adults in my village had the same dream. And the dream was that on this day, at this very place in the road, a car would stop. And in the car would be books that would tell us how to find the true God. Like, I can't even begin to... How did God do that? It's just mind-boggling. Or as a young gal who was born and raised in Bhutan said to me, my mother had a dream. And in this dream, this person stood before her dressed in white. And he said, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Believe in me. And her mother did. Her father was in India, and he had the same dream, only he woke up before the end of the dream, and he said, I had this dream, came home, I had this dream about this guy standing in front of me, he had this white robe on, and I didn't understand what the dream was, and his wife said, I know what it is, the man is saying, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, believe in me, so let's believe in him, and they did. Wow! It's those kinds of things, friends, that are happening around the world. And it's your story just as much as it's the Wepler story or the Chapel story or the Weems' story or my story. It's your story because you so well care for us. Thank you. Thank you. Jesus came to change the tradition of how to receive forgiveness. He came to change the tradition of social interaction, and he came to change the tradition of fasting and praying and new things happening. So let's get on board. We are recruiting, and we are looking for some slightly crazy, on-fire people to go to Portugal, Mexico, North Africa, and maybe the Lord is saying to you, yeah, I need to go. Or maybe the Lord is saying, yeah, you know, I need to really be praying. Or maybe the Lord is saying, yes, I really need to be faithfully giving. And as you respond to the Lord in those, I know He will richly bless you. And I know that doors will open for you to share with people. Be blessed this day, friends. Be blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. And thank you so much. Joy of sharing with you. Amen.